I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land upon which this recording takes place, the Gubbi Gubbi people of Southeast Queensland. I honour their continuing connection to land, sea and sky, as well as their elders, past, present and emerging. Hey there, welcome back to the Men, Sex and Pleasure podcast. I'm your host, Cam Fraser. This is episode number 200. We're talking all things masculinity, sexuality, male bodies and men's experiences of pleasure. On today's episode, I have the pleasure of chatting with Ella DeLoya. Ella is a holistic sex coach specializing in female sexuality, a yoni massage therapist, and also a registered nurse. Ella's mission in life is to connect women back to their bodies, sexuality, and pleasure. She is also deeply passionate about working with men in this space, educating them on female bodies, pleasure, and menstrual cycles. And you can find Ella on Instagram at Ella underscore DeLoya underscore. That's ELLA underscore DALOIA underscore, or at her website, which is ella-deloya.com. And on this particular episode, Ella and I talk about what yoni massage is and why it might be something either you or your partner may be interested in exploring. We also then go on a bit of a tangent with regards to etymology and language and how that's really powerful. And then we also speak a little bit more about men and how male partners can support the women in their lives, their female partners, how to embrace their sexuality, their eroticism, how to approach genital touch in a safe and consensual way for pleasure's sake, for healing's sake. So if that is of interest to you, if you are someone with a female partner and you would like to learn a little bit more about how to go about engaging erotically with them, then this is going to be the episode for you. It's lovely to connect with Ella after just seeing her at a workshop that I hosted the night before. So we had a good laugh about some of the things in that workshop, but it was great to connect with her like this. So I hope you enjoy listening.
This might be a good time to describe what sexual intercourse is so you can understand some of the things we're talking about.
At very special times, they like to hold each other close. God made their bodies so they fit together in a wonderful way.
At one of those special love times, the sperm from the man's body can go into the woman's body.
And in spite of her piety, she sometimes desires the more solid comfort of her husband Pierre's cock.
And we can jump straight in. Ella, the way that I like to start is by asking you three questions. And those questions are, who are you, what do you do, and what are you really passionate about?
So, my name is Ella DeLoya. I am a holistic sex coach, yoni massage therapist, and registered nurse. And I am really passionate about connecting people into their bodies and into their pleasure and into their sexuality. Yeah, my biggest passion in life, to be honest, and I'm fortunate to do that as a career. But outside of that, the things that I'm really passionate about are a healthy lifestyle, healthy living, and simple living and simple pleasures.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I'm curious, did you go from yoni massage and then into nursing, or did you go into nursing and then into yoni massage? What order was it?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. So when I discovered sexology, the field of sexology, I was like, oh, this is like what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had this really long plan of, I wanted to do my master's of sexology, but I needed to do a specific degree to get into the master's. So I chose to do nursing because there was always going to be work in that. I could finish the degree, get work, and then go and do my master's. But as life unfolded, I did the nursing degree and then discovered sex coaching trainings and the yoni massage trainings, which was something I'd always been really interested in the yoni massage. And I think the sex coaching training versus the clinical sexology like masters just actually felt a lot more aligned for me. So did the nursing to be able to do the masters, but didn't need the nursing in the end. But it's still so great to have, obviously, and yeah, provides a really beautiful base to working with sexuality and understanding sexuality. And all of that stuff.
Sure. That was going to be my follow-up question. If that was the order that you did things, was what do you bring from your nursing background and training into the sex coaching and yoni massage specifically modality? Like what do you bring in there if that's helped you kind of lean into that work?
So yeah, as I say, it was a really good foundation just to understand anatomy, physiology, the nervous system, and also assessment skills. So being able to do a full body assessment and ask questions. Yeah, they're probably the main ways.
Yeah, beautiful. I reckon there's probably a lot of transferable skills there, which have been really helpful for you stepping into that line of work. What did you learn in your yoni massage training that is maybe missing from the nursing curriculum? Is there anything in there you're like, fuck, this should be taught in nursing?
I mean, when we learn about the anatomy, for example, I mean, obviously learning about physiology and anatomy is huge. Such a small part of that is genitalia. We don't learn about the clitoral complex, of course. What else? So yeah, definitely learning. It would be ideal to actually learn the proper anatomy, and to also talk about pleasure. It's just so clinical. It's so clinical. And just the somatics of it all, you know, how much is actually stored in the yoni. Yeah, it is something that I struggle with working in the two worlds is that Western medical world, and then more of the sort of like holistic, really connected to the body, the somatics world. They're very contrasted.
Yeah, I definitely found that in my training as well. So I did the postgraduate degree of sexology at Curtin University, which is very sexological Western academia approach to human sexuality. And also I did yoga teacher training. I went into like the sacred sexuality community, lots of neo-tantra stuff and lots of somatic hands-on work. I did some tantric massage as well. And it was very interesting to see the kind of Cartesian dualism between these two fields, right? Like it was very talk therapy oriented, very, this is how we approach sexuality, is like from the mind and from thinking about it. And then the esoteric kind of Eastern approach, the Taoist tantric approach was very physical oriented. It's like through the body, through experience. And these two worlds weren't really talking to each other a lot. And I was really interested in like that beautiful overlap where we're doing both. And that's why I landed on sex coaching specifically, rather than going down the psychotherapy route, is because it allowed me personally as a practitioner to draw on the somatic side of things and the spirituality side of things, the stuff that I was doing in all these really fantastic workshops and being a counselor or a psychotherapist didn't permit me to do that work, right? I couldn't put my hands on clients, for example, or I couldn't get them to do certain things. And so it was a nice middle ground to find the sex coaching space, which is cool. For people that don't know, and maybe that there are some listeners, I've talked about yoni massage on the podcast before, so maybe people can recall it. But for those that are new or don't know what yoni massage is, or even what the word yoni is, I was wondering if you'd be able to expand on that and explain it for them.
Yes, it's such a great question because it can be so easy to forget that people don't know what yoni massage is.
We don't all live in this beautiful sex positive bubble.
One day. So the word yoni is the Sanskrit word for the female reproductive anatomy. And so it encompasses all of the genitalia. It encompasses the vulva, so that's the outside. It encompasses the vagina, so inside, the cervix, the womb, the tubes, the ovaries. And it translates to the source of life, which I think is just so beautiful when we think about the words that we use in Western medicine. And we touched on this in your workshop last night. They're very, I guess, clinical, like the word vagina and how that translates in Latin to sheath for a sword, right? But think about like the meaning of vagina versus the meaning of yoni. And that's why I really love the word yoni. I feel like it really, yeah, is a word that holds a lot of reverence for what the female reproductive anatomy is. So that's what the word yoni means. And then yoni massage is an ancient practice, ancient and really sacred practice that has been intended to heal and empower women and people with a yoni. So as women and yoni havers, we store so much in our yonis. We store stress there, we store emotion there, we store trauma there, we store ancestral stuff there. We store past, all of our past sexual experiences, whether they be positive or whether they be negative. And so yoni massage, how I practice, there are different ways that people practice. I practice really in a therapeutic sense. It's not a sexual pleasurable thing. It is purely therapeutic. And we are working through every part of the yoni and paying really close attention to, are there any areas that are painful? Are there any areas that are numb? Which is so, so common. Is there any areas of tension? Are there areas where there's emotions that just come up? Sort of memories come in from our subconscious and we process those and we're letting go of all of those. We're working through the layers of the pain, releasing the pain that's stored there. And it's a very devotional practice and it's really beautiful for women and yoni havers to connect in with this part of their body, which we are sadly so disconnected from. It's a really beautiful opportunity just to be honored, to be held in a really safe space, and to receive. It's a really beautiful opportunity to just completely receive and with no expectations of giving back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for speaking into that. So the word massage there for me implies that you're, as a practitioner, putting your hands on, in, and around your client's genitals. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I also like to just always point out as well, you know, that the sessions are sort of 3 hours, but there's a lot that we do before we work with the yoni. So we have a check-in, you know, a little chat at the start. We have a meditation. Is a full body massage. So you're really, the receiver is really able to drop into their body and into the present and into receiving. When we get to the yoni massage, correct, and this is, everything is with consent. And this is another really beautiful thing about yoni massage is it helps women to connect in with their, what a yes feels like, what a no feels like, and to honor the no, because so, so often, our no's are not recognized or honored. With consent, we move through, every part of the vulva, every part of the outside, inch by inch. And then the inside as well.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And I guess I'm going to try and wear the hat of a average listener who maybe has heard this for the first time. Because something that's coming up for me as a curiosity is you mentioned that it's a therapeutic experience and not a sexual experience. And I know for a lot of people, genital touch is, though it necessarily shouldn't be, but is inherently a sexual experience, right? Like it's very much correlated or conflated with genital touch equaling sexual touch. And so I'm curious, how do you create a space with your clients where it is a therapeutic touch-oriented modality that isn't necessarily sexually explicit?
It's a really great question. So for me, I'm really big on setting the intention and making it really clear. We're not here to stimulate you to a point of extreme pleasure and arousal and even climax. That's where the main areas that we're focusing on are the areas of pain, numbness, tension, and the things I mentioned before. I make it clear that it's okay to feel pleasure. We want you to feel pleasure. Pleasure is a beautiful, good, and healthy thing. And if we do feel areas of pleasure, we take a moment to honor it, we celebrate it, but we do move on from there. So I feel like being really clear about that and setting that intention, that just sets the tone, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that being like the container that's created, right? It's like these sensations are welcome and we don't want to shame them in terms of like pleasure and also in terms of discomfort as well, right? If there's pain or tension and that's discovered, again, we don't want to shame that as well. But the underlying intention being like, this is an opportunity to, you know, learn about your body. It's an opportunity to, you know, I think you said the word receive before, like receive that touch that doesn't have the agenda to stimulate you to the point of orgasm, or doesn't have the agenda to like stimulate you in a sexually explicit way that's intended to like arouse you, or that's intended to result in intense pleasure. I think that's a really, you know, fantastic way of framing it. And I do with coaching, the guys that I work with, one of the things that I'll share with them, which I'm kind of relating to what we've just spoken about, is how can they explore touch with their partner that doesn't have an underlying agenda, right? How can they create a space where they're touching their partner in a way that isn't meant to like sexually excite them, or isn't meant to try and get something from them, like get them to be aroused or get them to experience orgasm or get them to climax or whatever it might be. And I do this vice versa as well. I do this with a lot of heterosexual couples where I'll invite her to touch his genitals, for example, in a way that isn't intended to get him to an erection or get him to an ejaculation or try to arouse him, but just enjoy the sensation of touch and the pleasure on one side that can come from that, and also maybe some of the awkwardness and the discomfort and discovering maybe areas of pain and tension as well that can come from. So I'm mindful of like, you know, these are couples and it's not a therapeutic practice, but it's an invitation to explore touch for touch's sake, not with the purpose of trying to get something from the touch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes lots of sense. And I love that. And I do, similar things with my coaching clients. And also often it's stuff that I tell my yoni massage clients afterwards, is to like explore your yoni, connect with your yoni in a non-sexual way. Doing that through touch, just explorative touch, looking at her in the mirror, cupping her. And it's so important to build this with yourself. And then also in intimate relationships, for the genitals to not always be sexual, to explore touch from a place of curiosity, as you say. I think that's a really important practice.
What are some of the benefits of receiving yoni massage?
It's really a beautiful way, as I said earlier, just to connect in with this part of ourselves. So we've been so conditioned to be disconnected. We live in a society that operates from the neck up, and that goes for every single being, right? So for women and people with a womb and a pussy, there's so much shame there. There's shame around the pleasure, your womb, your bleed, like all of this stuff. So, and also we live in a society that operates on like the male hormone cycle, right? This 24-hour cycle, and not taking into account women having, that 24-hour cycle, but also the 28-day cycle, their menstrual cycle, which is like an infradian rhythm, I think is the correct term. In ignoring that, and just trying to do all of the things and be busy in this sort of patriarchal, like capitalistic society, it's really detrimental to our womb health, our hormonal health. So I went on a bit of a tangent there, but helping to connect in with the yoni, helping to release anything that might be stored there. So something that's really common that I see is numbness and pain. So literally every application that I get for yoni massage, I ask, like, what of these do you experience? Everyone, painful sex, numbness, like, it's just, it's so common. And the reason that I really believe that that's so common is because we're not taught about the differences in the female-bodied and the male-bodied arousal response, right? So as women, as people with a vulva, we can take up to 45 minutes to actually be properly aroused and engorged and lubricated and ready for penetration. Whereas for men, and look, this is generally speaking as well, if, you know, it is really different for everybody, but generally speaking, you know, for men and penis havers, it doesn't take that long. It doesn't take much necessarily to be ready. And so often we're not given that time. And so often penetration is forced in one way or another. So without being adequately aroused and physiologically ready and also emotionally ready, our yoni can be constricted. Like, she's not ready. She hasn't opened up. The cervix lifts up, so it actually makes space to be entered. When that doesn't happen, it can cause friction, right? And it can cause pain when something's being forced in. And pain is one of our body's defense mechanisms. So what's happening there is these pain messages are being sent to our brain, like, hey, let's make this stop. But we don't make it stop more often than not. And then that starts to store in the cellular memory. So anytime that same stimulation happens, that memory is stored there, we're experiencing that pain. We continue to not honor the no, and we continue to force it, and it just makes it even more sort of deeply embedded there. So through massage, we're able to work through those layers of pain and start to build new neural pathways within the body of, like, oh, actually, touch, penetration, it doesn't always need to be painful. It doesn't have to be painful. And you're starting to create new associations. So that's a really big benefit. And then also numbness. We can feel numbness for various reasons. Excessive vibrator use can actually cause quite a bit of numbness because it's a really intense sensation. So then our pleasure pathways are built on this really intense sensation, and then we can struggle feeling pain, feeling sensation from other things. Also, I really believe that numbness is a physical manifestation of our disconnect from not touching her, from not being connected with her, from her just, she's just feeling like she's this sexual thing, right? I feel like that all, yeah, can manifest as numbness as well. So as we work through yoni massage, we're bringing back blood flow to the area, and that helps bring back sensation. Yeah, I mean, I could talk about the benefits forever, but yeah, that sort of gives you an idea, I feel.
Yeah, those are some big takeaways. And so I appreciate you mentioning them, and several little things are popping up for me as you were talking, and I'm going to try and do my best to kind of chronologically work through them as I remember them. The first was, you got me thinking about readiness, and you were sharing, I think you said about 40 to 45 minutes of build up and touch and that building of sensation and arousal and getting blood flow and engorgement and lubrication kind of all to the yoni and the genitals. And that, on average, stereotypically speaking, being a longer time that it takes for a person with a penis, right? I think of the men that I work with to be ready in the sense of like having an erection, I suppose. And that got me thinking of, like, anatomically, sure, they're ready, right? In the sense of like they've got an erection, maybe they were quicker to get an erection, but are they, and you mentioned this, like, are they emotionally ready to penetrate? Are they energetically ready to penetrate? Yeah, sure, they're quote unquote standing to attention, right? But the deeper aspects of that readiness maybe not there. And I think, like, oftentimes we talk about rushing to penetration,
being like, typically the way that's talked about, at least in the way I've observed it, I'm happy to be corrected, is like, it's framed as we're rushing the woman in that heterosexual context to penetration. We're penetrating before she's ready. And that's very fair to say. I think that's very valid and true. And I often think, like, just because of the work that I do, like, how many guys penetrating before they're actually ready as well? Like, what percentage of guys are looking to penetrate because that's the narrative around sex, right? Is you got to get to penetration as quickly as possible because that's what quote unquote real sex is. And so that's what we need to prioritize. And I've lived that, like, story, right? I've pushed for penetration definitely before a previous partner was ready when I was a younger man. And when I reflect on it, like, before I was ready as well, I didn't necessarily want to have penetrative sex, but I thought that was what was expected of me as a man. It was to pursue penetration because that was the epitome of sex and that's what counted and things like that. So yeah, so I wonder, like, how many guys are ready in a kind of physiological sense but aren't actually ready to penetrate or be the penetrator, and what that actually means, right? The energetics and the deeper kind of significance of that. Don't know, just some food for thought there. That was coming up for me as you were sharing that. So thanks for prompting that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that? Is that landing at all?
Yeah, fully landing. And I love that you've spoken to that because, yeah, there's this narrative that sex equals penetration and must rush to that. And I think there is a difficulty for people to be in just in the erotic space, like, yeah, just to be in that and feel that. It's like, yeah, let's get straight to penetration. Let's do the thing. Let's have orgasms. And then it's complete. And I think it's really valid what you shared. It's like, men are not these like two-dimensional beings that live life and want to have sex all of the time. You know, they're emotional beings as well, and have, yeah, as you say, like, I think it's really important for them to feel emotionally ready as well. And the act of penetration is so intense. It's an intense energetic exchange, and it's so sacred. And while we can still enjoy sex, like, a lot of people, yeah, just move through that fairly unconsciously, I feel. And maybe they have an orgasm and that's the marker of good sex, right? And then they think they're having good sex.
I often think that it's so worthwhile for heterosexual men to experience what it's like to be penetrated so that they've got an experiential understanding of how much time it takes to be ready and how attentive you need to be and how lubricated you need to be, and, you know, how it's important to have a partner who's aware of those things, right? And so if anyone's listening to this, or if anyone can just imagine, right, use a visualization here of rushing anal penetration, right? Like, that's, for a lot of guys, like, they're like, fuck, that would hurt. It's like, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, that's the point, right? It's like, that's the learning there, is if you do rush it and you're not relaxed and you're not warmed up and you're not lubricated, it's going to be uncomfortable and painful and possibly going to create some little T trauma there, or possibly some big T trauma. So I'm a big advocate for men learning what it's like to be penetrated experientially, so they have that now awareness in their body of like, oh shit, this is what my partner is possibly experiencing when. And that's the importance of me needing to slow down and things like that. So yeah, I think there's a big learning there for a lot of guys when it comes to anal play and prostate stimulation. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here because the other thing that I wanted to speak into, which you shared, was you used the word numbness to describe like frequent vibrator use, right? And so, I mean, statistically, a lot of guys don't use as many sex toys and vibrators as women do. So like what I come up against in my work, for example, is guys that are really using a lot of friction to masturbate. So when they're you know, jerking off, and I use that term very literally, they're jerking and it's like very rough and fast, not, you know, without lube, so it's dry as well. And it's interesting because I don't use the word numbness to describe their lack of nuance of sensations, right? So when I get them to like, you know, I tell them to slow down, I'll tell them to like touch their body in a bit of a different way, and I'll give them that invitation to do so. And a lot of guys will come back to me and be like, yeah, I didn't get an erection, I couldn't really feel a lot. And I don't use the term numbness in that situation, right? I use the term conditioning. So they've conditioned themselves to experience pleasure in just one particular way, right? They've created a very strong pathway for that particular type of stimulation, which is very rough, very friction oriented. And I'm drawing a similarity here with vibrator usage, right? Like there's a conditioning that's happened of like, this is a type of stimulation that my body is used to, that I've done every single time that I masturbate. And so that's the pathway that's been created that's like very easy to follow for my body, right? For my nervous system. And yeah, I'm just interested. And I know, obviously being in the space, that numbness and the idea of numbness and vibrator use is a bit of a contentious hot topic in the sexuality profession. But I'm wondering around the word numbness there and whether it's not necessarily accurate, because I know that people feel numb, but is maybe a word like conditioned or conditioning more, is it leave more room, right? Is there a bit more openness there when we start to talk about it that way? Don't know. I'm curious if you have any thoughts around that.
It's a really interesting point. And yeah, I always love hearing different perspectives on things. And yeah, I definitely resonate with what you're saying there about the word conditioning. And I agree with it somewhat for women and vibrator use. Like, let me think. So the reason that I feel like, yes, there can be like conditioning around the sensation, but also like, yes, physical numbness, is because when I received my first yoni massage, prior to going back, like, I don't know, five or six, seven years ago, when I first started like getting into the world of sexuality, my masturbation practice was vibrator, just always vibrators, particularly on the clitoris. So when I received my first yoni massage, the woman who was giving me that, when she was at my clitoris, she was like, how does that feel? And I was like, oh, I was like, I don't even know that you're touching me there. I could not feel a thing. So to me, yeah, that felt so numb. But then I suppose you could also argue that that's a conditioned sensation from the vibrator. So yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, and I recognize there's a lot of varying opinions within the space, and I think it's we're getting hung up on semantics, right? Like, what does, and I think personally, I don't use numbness because it has a lot of connotations, right? Like it, and if you feel numb, you're still feeling something, right? Like there's the sensation of numbness is what you're feeling, in my approach, I suppose. And so like, it's not, but like numbness for a lot of people, the connotation is like, I don't feel anything. And it's like, well, you not feeling anything is you feeling something, right? Like there's still an awareness of the lack of sensation there, right? That's still your awareness. So I like to like move away from the term numbness again because of the baggage that it has. And also like it's, you know, framed as a bad thing to be numb, things like that. Like there's quite a negative kind of experience. But if you've conditioned, you know, yourself, it's like, well, it's okay, right? I can just condition, I can recondition, I can do some other conditioning, right? There's other things that I can do. So in the way that I've worked with guys, it feels a little bit more, like I said, there's more possibilities there, right? I'm not trying to like work through the numbness. I'm just like creating more experiences. I'm able to condition other ways of experiencing pleasure. I don't know, just some food for thought, some semantics, wordplay in the sexuality space. Anyway, I wanted to ask you the last thing that's coming up for me. I'm thinking chronologically here based on what you shared about 10 minutes ago is the word pussy. Right. So, and I'm curious, do you use the word, I mean, you used it in when you were sharing, and I'm curious if that's like what your thoughts are around the word pussy and how it feels for you in both personal and professional practice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting actually. It always was a word that I never used it. It felt a bit like taboo and a bit crass. never used it. And then even when I started like diving into the sexuality world and like, I still felt very blocked around it. But then I guess, yeah, just through exposure therapy, you know, through just being in this bubble and people using it. And I've just started using it. And the first, yeah, like when I did start using it, it felt a bit uncomfortable. And now I just say it and feel, don't even realize that I've said it. So yeah, to me, it feels like quite an empowering word, I think, because it can be such a taboo word to be used like to refer to the female genitals. So it feels empowering to use it and to use it confidently, I suppose.
Yeah, it's gone through a bit of a reclamation phase, right? Because it's especially for a lot of my life, the word pussy was used very derogatory.
Yes.
And it was to describe or to belittle a man, right? Or someone who doesn't live up to a particular standard of masculinity. But obviously stepping into the sex positive, pleasure positive space, like there's been this reclaiming of the word to there's like some sacredness to it, essentially, like is what I'm kind of hearing. And there's some celebration with it. And the reason why I'm starting here is because I want to build up to something that I have recently read in a book called The Curious History of Sex by Kate Lester. I'm curious, have you read that book? Or do you know of it?
I haven't read it. No, there's so many books that I want to read.
Yeah, I know. I've got a whole Amazon wish list that I've just used to track the things that I want to read. But the reason why I bring up that book is because the author, Kate Lester, she spends a significant chunk of the beginning of the book talking about language and how language has evolved over time and how there's so many words to describe male genitals, right? Lots of colloquialisms, a lot of slang that's been documented throughout time. There hasn't been as much for female genitals and the vulva and the vagina. But she dedicates a whole chapter specifically to, and I apologize to listeners, especially in America, this is going to probably upset some people, but specifically to the word cunt, and like dedicates a lot of words to the history and the etymology and the development of like what the word means, and makes the case, she compares it to the word yoni actually. And so she makes the case that the word cunt is actually older than the word yoni. And in a similar way that you were describing the word yoni before, like encompassing the vulva and the vagina and the clitoris, it's a word that means all of it, right? So does the word cunt. And so she kind of makes this case for like the reclaiming of the word cunt and the celebration of it and the reverence of it. And I just found it like super, obviously being Australian, I've liberally used the word cunt before in my life. And yeah, I don't do so much anymore, only because I'm a bit more mindful that many people take offense to the word. And I lived in America for 5 years, so I'm definitely familiar with the offense taken by Americans. But yeah, it was just like a fascinating thing to think about. And yeah, like I said, she lays out this whole history of the word and where it's come from and like the links to like Nordic languages and then Latin and all this, like, and yeah, and like I said, makes the case that it's older than the word yoni, and possibly we should respect that, right? And so I don't know, I just wanted to throw that out there because I literally just read that like 2 days ago on the plane flying over here, and I was like, whoa, that's my mind blown. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that.
Yes, I love that. And I've gone blank, but I learned like in Kiki's trainings, she talks about the origin of the word cunt and how, I mean, it's associated with several things, but like, I'm pretty sure like, I could be wrong on this, but a part of what it's associated with is Kali, like that archetype who is very just in her body and that kind of like wild woman, and like there's like that feels all of her things and that anger and all of that stuff. And when I read that, I'm not doing that justice at all, I've just like really skimmed the surface there, but yeah, it just started to reshape how I view the word cunt as well. And I was like, oh, I love that it's like actually it came from a really like empowering place.
Yeah. And there's like root, like, I don't know, I'm going to do such a disservice to Kate, who put so much effort into that particular chapter, but like it shares the same root word as the word cunning, which doesn't, it didn't originally mean what it means today. Cunning is kind of like manipulative and kind of deceptive, but cunning originally meant like intellectual and knowledgeable and wisdom, right? Having the wisdom to do things and the like, so like the word cunt being related to cunning, like the wisdom and the awareness and the ability to do that. And then, yeah, it goes back into other root words as well. But it was, yeah, it was just fascinating. And so, yeah, I'm going to, I don't know, I might do a post about it. You might see some social media content created around it, but just like the encouragement for the reclamation of the word cunt in the sex positive space as well. It could be interesting to see how that goes.
I'll keep an eye out.
But maybe there's too much cultural barriers. Maybe it's going to be a little while before it's truly accepted. Who knows?
It'll get there, I reckon. Pussy got there.
Yeah. We were just joking last night about the word schlong at the workshop. Maybe I'll advocate for schlong to have some sacredness. Maybe I'll do some etymology research on where that's come from. And
yeah, I'd be curious.
Well, I want to move on from language, because what I'd love to talk to you about actually, Ella, is like, how can we encourage, you know, and the context here is heterosexual couples, because that's who I predominantly work with. Right now I work with a lot of heterosexual men who obviously have female sexual partners. And what I try and do with them is help them come to an awareness and understanding of like how to touch their partner's genitals, you know, vulva, vagina, perineum, anus, whatever they and their partner are interested in it. And so one of the things I wanted to speak to you about is like, what do men need to know about the yoni and touching it? And not necessarily in a therapeutic sense, because again, I don't want this to come across as like teaching men how to give yoni massage, because that's not what I want to do. But how can we create more awareness for the guys that are listening to approach touch and massage in like a less therapeutic sense, right? Because I give my partner massages, but I don't do it for a therapy. I do it because it's something that we both enjoy. So I'm just curious if you have advice for guys listening around like approaching their partner's genitals like that.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I think firstly, like, you know, when you are touching the yoni, like it should be the last thing really that you're coming to touch. Like, it's really important. I like to say to like treat the whole her whole body as a sexual organ and work from like the outside in, kind of, you know, so like kissing and caressing like her entire body, paying really close attention to the breasts, like that's going to help her heart open. That's where the sexual energy is cultivated in the female body, and then that sort of drips down into the yoni and gets her sort of engorged and lubricated and ready to potentially be touched or penetrated. So that is just the first thing that I always like to point out. And then when you do get to the yoni, like, yeah, paying love and attention to the vulva, to the outside. So not just going internal straight away. There's so much pleasure to be had externally. And yeah, really beautiful way is, you know, to start off by like cupping. That's a really beautiful grounding practice. Just going to help her feel, just safe. And so starting there, and like, were you asking me? I feel like I'm just getting into like techniques. Is that what you wanted?
No, I mean, yeah, either way, like the practical advice is really fantastic and it always is received really well. I know people are looking for some really practical advice. And I can, again, if I try and put the hat on of a average listener, it's all well and good to be like, yeah, approach it this way. But it's like, well, what the fuck do I do when I get there? Like, how do I do this? So, and I'll share an example. This is interesting, right? So I spoke on social media, fuck, it must have been about 2 years ago now, when I used to live back in WA, and I talked about labia massage, right? And I was like saying to guys, I was like, because that's who my content is geared to, I was like, you guys, like, slow down, touch your partner's labia, give it a massage, you know, kind of did a bit of education around like the inner and outer labia, and it was just like, I thought it was relatively educational and encouraging guys to not go straight for penetration. What was fucking crazy to me, right, is I got absolutely roasted on TikTok specifically by so many women. So many women were like, oh, if he touches my labia, like that's fucking weird. And like, it was like, guys don't listen to this. This is horrible. Like terrible advice. Like, why is he touching me like in my labia? Like what? It was just, I was so, and it went viral. And so like, and just hundreds of women were just like saying that this is terrible advice. And I was just like, so mind blown having like colleagues and people in my life who advocate for labia massage and like the slowing down and touching and teach it. And I was like, how, like, it just, yeah, it just shocked me, honestly, to be candid. And so, yeah, so maybe I'm still holding on to that, Ella. Maybe it's still, I've got some charge around it. But that leads me to a question: is touch of the labia, both inner and outer, is there, you don't have to go too deep into technique and strategy here, but I'm curious around like labia massage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite shocked about that as well. Like, yeah, I mean, there's so many layers to that. But with my yoni massage clients, when I talk about, like, we do an anatomy run through and stuff at the start and talk about, yeah, how I'll be touching each of the outer labia and the inner labia. And you can sort of see their face glaze over about like, well, I don't know all these terms or blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, we do the yoni massage and then the debrief afterwards. Something that people, yeah, commonly say is like, yeah, I've never touched my inner labia like that. It actually, it's really pleasurable for a lot of women, actually. So I suppose if there are people listening, people with a yoni listening, the thought of having their inner labia touched or massaged feels uncomfortable for them, yeah, I'd encourage them to just be curious and to explore that and actually just open yourself up to you know, the pleasure that might be there. And yeah, for, I guess, people listening who would like to maybe explore their partner's inner labia, I think, yeah, I guess just being aware that it's probably somewhere that hasn't been touched before. And again, coming to it from a place of curiosity and love, I suppose, and like potentially pleasure giving, but doesn't have to be sexual. It doesn't have to go anywhere further than that. But yeah, I think it's lovely. Like, definitely something that I would love to receive, you know.
Yeah, and that was like, I'm sure my partner won't mind me sharing that, that's like part of our play. And so it was just like, it was very confronting to me that there was like so many people that were really like had a strong reaction to it. And so it was, yeah, I don't know, anyway, I digress. Like I said, maybe I'm still holding on to a bit of the charge around that. The I guess here we can pivot a little bit, because one of the other things I think is, and I do this with the guys that I work with specifically, right? Because I'll talk to guys about the importance of self-pleasure, and they're coming to see me specifically to work on something. So I'll say, okay, well, if we're going to work on this, we can't just rely on only doing it when you're with your partner. We've got to do work solo as well. And so I really encourage them and advocate for them to put it in their diary, a self-pleasure practice on a Thursday night. And within that, obviously, is the invitation for them to have a conversation with their partner about it. And I can say to guys, you can throw me under the bus here and say that Cam said that you need to do some self-pleasuring on a Thursday night, and so they can use me as the instigator for the conversation if they need. But like, the like I said, the invitation is for them to have a conversation with their partner about the importance of self-pleasure and setting aside time to do it. And so then within that, what I say to the guys is like, there's an opportunity for them to be a leader, a sexual leader in the container of their relationship by saying, hey, I want to prioritize a self-pleasure practice because I've got things that I'm working on that I want to bring into our sex life. Do you want to set aside time for your self-pleasure practice, right? And the encouragement of helping his partner feel comfortable doing a self-pleasure practice and whatever that looks like for her. And that's so like, that's one of the ways that, and again, I frame that as like, for the guys, at least anyway, I frame it as a position of leadership, right? This invitation that you can give to your partner, like, hey, I'm doing this because it's going to be beneficial for me. Do you want help setting aside time for yourself as well? And again, because I work with guys, I frame that as like being a leader, because that lands for them, you know. But I'm curious if you've got any advice for the men that are listening to help their partners, right, their female partners, maybe feel comfortable doing some solo massage or exploring their bodies a little bit more. Because I know this podcast's got a big male audience, and a lot of them do have female partners, and those female partners might not be clued in to self-pleasure or yoni massage or just exploring their bodies. And so what I would love to see is guys stepping up and encouraging their partners to do those things, because I think they are beneficial, not only solo for that woman, but also for the relationship as well, which is the same approach I take for guys. So my question is, do you have any advice for those guys listening?
So do I have any advice for the guys listening on like how to encourage their female partners to also carve that time out for themselves?
Yeah. How to encourage them, how to support them in it, how to like invite them to do it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I think that firstly, like obviously they know their partner better than most people. So firstly, just feeling into how ready is my partner to do this. So like there might be some women, some of their partners who are like more ready, more sort of open to that, where there might be other partners who are down the other end of the scale who are just like, whoa, what the fuck? That's so weird. I don't want to do that. And so like for those partners perhaps who are like less ready, maybe just sort of like starting smaller. I think what you shared there was really beautiful about like, hey, yeah, you know, Cam taught me this really beautiful practice and these are the benefits of it and I'm going to do it. Like, how does that feel? How does the idea of you doing that as well, how does that feel for you? And rather than coming to her like, hey, you should do this thing, it's going to be great, like sort of gently approaching it. And I think also through the men doing that practice themselves, it's like sharing it as well, like sharing your experience with your partner as well. I feel like that will also help them to be more curious, to be more open, to see the benefits of it. And if the partner does feel like resistant to it, maybe asking them like, yeah, why do you feel resistant? Like, is there any, is there something small that we could do that like might make you feel more open, or like somewhere small that we can start, and just taking baby steps if that's what's needed.
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation with Kiki, as a matter of fact, a little while ago now, about a dynamic that we often see as practitioners in heterosexual couples, which is that very often, just because of the way that the landscape is sexually, there's a lot of encouragement for women, especially the women that Kiki's working with, to like go on a bit of a sexual journey, to reclaim their eroticism, to like really do that personal development work around their sexual selves. And then those women dating men, right, the ones that are dating men or have male partners who haven't done that, those male partners haven't gone on that journey. And so she was talking about how a dynamic that she sees, and I've certainly seen this as well, and I'll explain how I've observed it, is these women who have done a lot of work and the male partners who haven't end up coaching their men and saying like, hey, you should try this, like go and do this, like, oh, you're struggling with this, like, and that creates obviously a coach client dynamic, not a partnership or, you know, two lovers. And so the way I've observed that, because I agree that that is a dynamic that plays out, and the way that it shows up in my work is a guy coming to see me being like, yeah, my wife told me I need to come and see, or like my this woman I'm dating, this tantrika I'm dating, said I need to come and see Cam. And so they're there because the woman that he's dating has recognized that she doesn't want to coach him, but he also needs to catch up. And so there's like a gap that needs to be filled. But I also see a reverse of that, which is like what I was alluding to in my question before, which is I'll get guys reach out to me because they've maybe been listening to the podcast or they follow me on social media, like, oh shit, I need to do something about this because I'm experiencing an issue. Or yeah, a little bit less often I get guys who are like, I've got no issue, but I just want to really explore my sexuality. I want to see what I can do with this. And so they go on this journey, they go on this erotic journey and learn about their sexuality and really like step into their masculinity and whatever that means for them, their sexual prowess. And then they start dating, or that like their partner hasn't gone on that journey or still feels a little bit like left behind. And so I see, and I'm really lucky, I get to see like the reverse happen as well, where these guys who are really confident and comfortable and exploratory, but their partner doesn't, or the new woman that they're dating doesn't. And so, yeah, so I have to navigate that with my male clients, right? Like, how does he create space for her to, you know, and so what do? I say, well, here, share this profile with it. It's usually Kiki's profile or Bonnie's profile or something to that effect, and say, like, here's a beautiful example of a woman celebrating and advocating for pleasure and sensuality and sexuality and eroticism. Like, maybe share that or listen to a podcast with your partner about that. So yeah, so that's context for the question, I suppose, I asked. I'm curious, now that I've kind of shared that, does anything else come up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I love the idea that you shared about, yeah, like sharing the profiles or sharing the podcast interviews or whatever it is, because it's exposure therapy, right? And I feel like I really believe that exposure therapy is really powerful in just starting to normalize some things, right? Because you go from not ever talking about the thing, not ever seeing the thing, to all of a sudden like seeing it spoken about and represented in a really beautiful, healing, empowered way. And then that naturally starts to make you more curious, I think. So yeah, I love those ideas. And yeah, it's interesting that you know, bring up this, that like coaching dynamic within the relationship, because I feel like, yeah, it's definitely something to be conscious of. I was having this conversation actually with Freya last night about, yeah, you know, when, as we are dating, like, do we want to be that, like, in that education role of like, this is what you do, da 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 da. And we both sort of felt very differently about it. I was just kind of like, I don't want to be that person. But Freya was sort of more like, oh, if they're just like, if they're really ready and on board and like willing, I'll do that. So it's interesting. And I feel like naturally it's sometimes a little bit of that dynamic comes in. But I think maybe it's just, yeah, important to just keep it like minimal.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I think there's like the nuance of that particular discussion is like, you've got to educate your partner about your body anyway, right? Like, no one's a mind reader. They have to learn about what you like. The only way they're going to really learn that is if you're communicating that to them. So in a sense, there's an education piece, right? Of like, you educating them about what turns you on and what you enjoy. But if it slips into like, now you're teaching them anatomy and it's like a lecture, then maybe it's not so sexy, right? So yeah, there's that line. Like, I'm mindful of time, Ella, and I suppose it's relevant to what we were speaking about. And I said prior to recording that I wouldn't ask you this, but because we were talking about like sharing profiles and social media and things like that, what is your social media and what do you talk about on social media?
Yeah. So yeah, I have an Instagram account, which is my name, which is ELLA _ my surname, which is Daloia, which is DALOIA, and then another _. So that's my Instagram, where I share a lot of stuff. And so I work predominantly with women, but I also do work with men, where I create a really safe space to teach them about female bodies, arousal response, pleasure, sexuality, menstrual cycles, which I'll talk more about shortly. But yeah, on Instagram and like on my mailing list and stuff, what I share is like, is really educational stuff about just like how this stuff, how our lack of education and how shameful comments that your parents made or, you know, in school and things like that, how that stuff actually has an enormous impact on us as adults and how we relate intimately, how we feel about ourselves and our bodies and our pleasure and our sexuality. And then the ripple effect of those things as well, you know, how, yeah, feeling disconnected and instead of feeling shame and discomfort around all of this stuff can have an effect on our like well-being as well. So yeah, I really like to just shine a light on all of this stuff on my socials, and I like to also share ways that, you know, that you can start the journey and little like bite-sized things that you can do.
Yeah, awesome. People that are listening can find you in the show notes, and you can be one of the profiles that they might like to share with their partners. So thank you for being that, and for doing the educating. It's definitely necessary. And thank you for educating me today as well, and for just sharing the good word and the work that you do. It's been really lovely to get to chat to you like this after meeting you last night. To be able to sit down was, yeah, very serendipitous. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, it was, yeah, so nice to, yeah, meet you in the flesh last night and, yeah, be chatting here today about all of this stuff. And yeah, no, I just appreciate being on here and being able to, yeah, share this work with more and more people. And something that I just sort of feel called to say is this work, and I'm sure that you find this as well, this work, working on our sexual shadows and stuff, is something that everybody can benefit from, regardless of if you've been brought up in like a super Catholic household, right? Where anything to do with your body and touch da, 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 has been made really, really shameful. Or if you grew up in not that household, but you just sort of, I guess, grew up in our society, right? Like everybody can benefit from it, and that there's no shame in doing this work. I feel like there can be a lot of blocks around actually engaging in this work and investing in this work. And I mentioned earlier that, yeah, I do work with men in a space of, yeah, like teaching them about women and their cycles and pleasure and all of that stuff. And I see particularly a lot of blocks for men to engage in that work, because there's a lot of ego there, right? There's a lot of I don't need someone to teach me how to like pleasure a woman and da da da. But I guess I just want to say, like, it is actually, as like a woman who dates and loves men, it is so sexy to see you like take initiative and be like, yeah, I want to learn more about how to pleasure women. Like, I've put a poll up on my Instagram. I've had this conversation with so many of my sisters, and we all find it really sexy. So yeah, just want to share that.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I'm definitely on board with that as well. I think it's definitely necessary and something that I hope is a takeaway for the guys listening to this particular episode. So thank you so much for talking with me and for sharing your wisdom. It's been really lovely.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks so much for having me here, Cam. It's been lovely.
Yeah, no problem.